Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of Prepare for Landon. I am very happy about this one because I got to talk to my friend Luke Ryder, who some may know from the band Avoid, and we got to talk about the band, the recording process, being out on the road, and then also dealing with mental health out on the road, and also dealing with mental health while being outside of a band as well. But that's all in the conversation, which was a wonderful conversation, and I hope you enjoy it.
Dude?
I don't know, man.
Crazy, dude. Like,
I let you in my house.
What are we talking about?
What?
This is the Prepare for Landon podcast with your host, Joshua Landon. Buckle up.
Yeah! Now let's recording in progress. Now everything's starting. Yay. It finally worked. Yay.
Yay.
Luke Ryder, you got baby face.
I know, bro. I went all baby on him.
Crazy, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
I just had my worked first day at a new job today. So
who we're at?
I'm just working for like a remodeling company, apprenticing pretty much as like a general contractor, that kind of deal.
Nice.
So yeah, it was cool. Got to work with my buddy that got me a job there. So he was just kind of showing me the ropes today, and yeah, I got a lot to learn, but it was a good time.
Yeah. You work with like some sort of racing track, right? Too?
Or yeah. Something? Yeah. I work at I worked full time for a couple of years. I'm part time now. But I do some this and that down at a racetrack called, Pacific Grand Prix Motorsports Park.
Okay.
PGP Motorsports Park is what it shortens as, but yeah, so PGP, it's cool outdoor karting track. I've been working there for a few years, started working in the pandemic, and then I've always liked racing, and
yeah,
the crew down there is really, really fucking great. Like really great. So I started working there just to kind of get out of the house again, make a little money. And I ended up staying because it's just a good group of people, man. And they do shit very right. Like as a kid that wanted to race, but never got to, you know, it's so expensive. Like,
oh yeah,
you got to do your whole life for racing, and you know that's just not how I was set up. You know, it's just like I wanted to do other things too.
Yeah.
So it's cool to like see all these younger kids come out, and like I'm a driver instructor there now, so I get to like teach people how to drive quicker. And some of these kids are starting to drive, get their own go-karts, and go race across the state. And I'm like, damn, like good stuff. I'm not taking credit for any of that because all the kids that are doing really well right now, like.
Yeah,
they got out before I got there, but there's some really good young talent coming up, and it's fun to be a part of.
That's sweet. And you get to race as well?
Yeah. It's fun. You know, I don't race as much. It's more just like I get a lot of time out on track, like lapping constantly. So it's pretty fun. You know, I wish I could be racing something a little quicker, but for to race, you know, that's just me, but like for what it is, like it's a great place, man. They're awesome down there. The carts are quick too. They go like 50. So
really?
Yeah.
And I've only been to like I think maybe like a 15 mile an hour one.
Oh dude, it's fun. it actually does prepare you to take the next step. Like I've gotten to drive a couple like race carts, you know, they're not much faster, they just corner better. They're private owned and stuff. But yeah, we have a full-time mechanic that takes care of like 40 go-karts, and he's kick ass. They have really good deal down there. So
that's sweet, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. You could be like a Frankie Muniz, who I guess is just getting into racing now.
Well, dude, what's funny is he's not just getting into racing. In the mid 2000s, he raced formula cars.
Oh really?
Yeah. So he raced single seater open wheel cars in like formula BMW or something like that. But he's always been into it. And then he stopped doing it. And now he's racing in something called ARCA. It's like one of the first steps to get in NASCAR.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you really have to like do that when you're young.
You got to do it really young. Like I asked my dad. I asked my dad when I was 12 years old when we were at the Indy 500, and I was like, hey,
too late.
Yeah, dude, straight up. I looked at him. I was like, Dad, can I do that? Like, can we start looking at ways to get into racing? And he looked at me and he went, no. We're just not set up for that. Like, I don't know shit about race carts, and we're about 10 years too late. And I was like,
dang, dude.
That's fair. Yeah, dude, there's kids getting out there that are like the world champion right now, Max Verstappen. He got signed to an F1 team before he even turned 17.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
When did he start?
Probably four or five.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's such a bummer, too. You can't get your license technically till you're like fucking 16.
Dude, he's a two-time world champion and he still doesn't have his license.
Holy shit. Oh, yeah. Dang.
Just get people to drive you everywhere. But
dang.
How have you been, dude? What's up with you?
I've been working, been making music. I got engaged. We get married this year.
Man.
Very excited.
That's crazy, man. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
That's
and
amazing.
Then, yeah. And then hanging out with my cats, dude.
Hell yeah, dude. Mine's
cats,
around
friends,
here somewhere.
Family.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I got to see your cat.
Oh, dude. I'll get him in here. He'll be meowing at the door.
And you got your dog Peanut, right?
Yeah, I can get Peanut at some point.
Your one-eyed pirate dog.
Dude, she's... It's funny. It took me like 5 years of dating Logan because she's Logan's dog that she's had for pretty much all of Peanut's life. And, you know, she liked me, but she wouldn't really hang out with me. But now she's like, if Logan's not home, she's like following me around.
Mm-hmm.
At night, she'll like sleep and cuddle with me and stuff, which she's never done in the past. So she's getting older, but she's getting super sweet. So
that's adorable.
Yeah, she's a little baby.
So I don't know if you've ever seen the show, but there's a lot of random tangents and random thoughts that come out of my head and things I jot down. So
yeah, dude.
We're going to go in all kinds of different directions.
Here,
yeah.
That's,
I'm excited.
That's how my brain works. So I'm done to go all over the place.
Yeah.
Man.
I figured it would mesh pretty well. Yeah.
Lead the way and I'll just talk. And then you tell me what else to talk about and we'll just keep on doing it.
Sweet. So I want to get into, well, I guess we can get into the fact that you're not in a void anymore.
Yeah, dude. I've been, you know, I obviously wasn't on the last tour and, I think a lot of things just kind of changed in the camp without getting too deep into like the specifics of that. But like, you know, TLDR, like you just kind of grow apart from people over time, you know, and that's just kind of, it's just kind of life, you know. Yeah. It's a bummer, but, you spend like a decade playing music with people. Like sometimes things just change, you know, you grow up and you grow apart a little bit and like your interests go elsewhere and things just change, man. It's just like, just life. It was a little weird. Like I didn't make the decision, to leave the band, but I do think it was probably for the best of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it was like me doing something wrong or them doing something like shitty. It was just like, okay, this just makes the most sense. You know, they're doing their thing. They're going to keep doing their thing. I think people should keep fucking with them because like they're good people.
Oh,
they
are, yeah.
You know? But yeah, dude, we just grew apart at the end of the day. And that's okay. And I honestly, like, I wish I could have made the decision for myself. That's literally the only regret that I have about my entire time in the music scene is I wish I could have made that my own decision to step away from something I put so much time into, you know?
Yeah.
But aside from that fact, there's a shitload to be proud of, you know? I'm very proud of like my role in the band as it growed over the years and stuff. But I think I've been, and a big part of it, it's not just like that, I've been struggling really hard on tour recently. That's why I took the last tour off. I've been just, my mental health goes off a cliff. Mm-hmm. And it was affecting other people, which I totally understand. Like it's not like we were getting in fights or anything, but when you're in such a confined space with so many people and like, you know, it's not that I was having like, not that I was being destructive, but when somebody is having a hard time, no matter what you do, everybody's going to feel it.
Yeah.
And I think it just got to be a little bit much. And I understand that. So that's why I kind of took the decision to not do that last tour. So the timeline was like that tour happened. I decided to take the tour off. And then it was after that, that kind of everything, we went our own way.
Mm-hmm.
But initially that tour, I was going to go. But in the tours leading up to it, I was just doing worse and worse and worse and worse. And just decided to sit one out. That was a group decision that we made. That was, I think, probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, because I don't think I would have done very well on that tour. And the amount of growth that I've done since then with having some at-home stability for the first time in my like life, mm-hmm. since I started touring, at least. So my adult life, that helped me immensely. But, you know, I also didn't, I didn't realize that was going to be it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the only thing that I, that's the only downside for me. Cause right now I got like a whole bunch of other things going on. You know, I've just kind of taken the time to get my shit together and try to like get a handle on my mental health, which has been going great. Like, and just set myself up. Cause I'm like, okay, now I have some extra time on my hands, I guess. I'm just gonna reapply all of that somewhere else, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, kind of a strange situation to go through. Like anybody that's been in a band and isn't anymore, whether that have been like their decision or not, like anybody that's ever been in a band understands how hard it can be to separate your identity from your identity as a person in a band. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've been a band member my whole life.
Yeah. And especially when you're caught off guard too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange.
But at the same time, did you, cause it was a mutual decision to take off that tour for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel whatever you were feeling kind of boiling up to the surface and getting to that breaking point, or was it just, did it hit you like what kind of started like the decision making, like I should probably step away on this one? And
well, yeah, that was I think it was a slow decline that was getting worse, and the harder I would try to keep my, like, I struggle pretty badly with like OCD, so being on tour and then being deathly afraid of germs doesn't really mesh super well. So I was just through the roof anxiety at all points. And so like, as it just compounded into me not being myself anymore, you know, which can be hard for other people to see. Cause like, I just would spend so much time in my head worrying that I couldn't really bring out the personality that, that I wanted to present and that I am, you know, it's like, I just didn't feel like, I felt like a muted version of me most of the time, because I was just so consumed by anxiety. So on this, most of the time when I would play shows, no matter what happened through the day or how I was feeling, I would get on stage and it would go away for however long our set was. And on the last tour that I did before I decided to stop or decided to step away for that Plot and You tour, that was when I recognized like, oh fuck, like I can't escape how I'm feeling even up here. Like I remember playing some of the coolest, biggest sold out shows that I've ever played. And the whole time was just like, I knew, I was like, I want to enjoy this so much, but I literally can't. Like I remember being so confused. I was like, why? This has never been the issue here. Like,
This was the escape. This was the place that you could let it all out and escape to and be able to breathe and be free for a minute.
100%.
And now so that's when it was contained, like contaminated and like.
Dude, I found myself like facing, I was like chilling in the back corners of the stage and like not wanting to be anywhere near the front, like not feeling like I felt like my rhythm was gone.
Yeah.
Like I did. I felt as out of the groove as I could have been. And it showed to me and to my bandmates and to probably not, maybe to the people that had seen us a bunch of times, but like, you know, I still had energy. It's not like I was just stage potato the whole time, but it wasn't me that I've been for so long as a performer, you know? So I wasn't really willing to, I was thinking about it and like, it kind of took like a group conversation, like, hey, do you need time off? And I was like, yeah, actually. Cause I was thinking like, it doesn't really make sense for me to present myself on the biggest tours that we've ever been on as not myself. You know, I wanted the chance to go home and get it together and come back and do it better. And life went in a different direction, and that's okay. Maybe I'm not closing the door on touring. I don't really have any interest in like starting another band or anything right now. Maybe like write some riffs.
Yeah, you're doing your thing right now though. But
yeah, I'm doing my thing, and like I want to rediscover music for myself and for the passion of it. And I think that was another thing, as I started to feel like music was a job.
Yeah.
And that really took my drive away, because when I wasn't on tour or actively at practice or something, it was hard for me to motivate to try to get better, because I was like, whatever, I can play the songs, like, that's fine. But I don't really want to do anything else other than play the songs and get it over with. And that's a shitty thing to feel when you are a musician, because you're like, damn, dude, why am I going through the motions right now? And I couldn't really find a way around that for a while. So like, yeah, dude, it's just, you know, I wasn't a picture perfect bandmate, but I considered myself a pretty good friend. And like the sense that I could, like, I could go out and I could grind on the road, and I could go out and I could load shit in and out all day long, and I could go out and just be a good friend to my people. That's where I felt like my role was. And then when that started to kind of decline because I couldn't keep my shit together, it was like, I'm sure they felt it too. Like, damn, what's the point? Who knows? Like, I honestly haven't spoken to any of them in quite a while, but
something I wanted to mention, I forgot what it was. Shoot. Oh yeah. I remember maybe like right before COVID and then during COVID a little bit, I was kind of lost in music in a sense. And I didn't know how to feel with it, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And I kind of had to find my way back into loving music again.
And
being happy with music again, and not being so stressed on it and so forced on it, or I don't know, whatever other reason. But like, I had to find my way to be comfortable and enjoy whatever I'm creating, or just the music itself in general, and kind of like let the expression flow however I see fit.
Yeah, no, and that's something I'm on the path to like rediscover right now.
Because yeah.
in full transparency, dude, I haven't touched a guitar in a month.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't. As I go through my day, I don't feel like I have a dark cloud over me. But when it comes to music, it's still a little bit sensitive. You know what I mean? Just because everything I have attached to music is attached to that band, which I'm not with anymore. And, you know, it's still like the way everything went down wasn't like super fucked up and like they fucked me over. But like it made me sad and it hurt my feelings a little bit. So I think I just needed to take a bit of time to like disconnect from music almost entirely, get my shit together from the ground up, and then pick music back up when I feel like, okay, now's time. Cause like every day I wake up and I'm listening to like a riff or something and I'm like, there's the itch, you know? I'm like, and I'm not forcing anything. I'm not like, oh, you got to go home and write that right now. Yeah, but I'm okay. Like something's reawakening. It's like a fucking flickering light bulb that wants to come back on. It's like, this is actually inspiring me. Like I'm listening to music. Like I think I was so burnt on the lifestyle that being in an active band can present. And I loved it and I still love it, but it's hard. And I was burning out quick. And so I was barely even listening to music anymore because like nothing was interesting me. Nothing could catch my attention besides like way out there shit or like shit that was just super simple. And now that I'm kind of disconnected from that lifestyle, because it's a grind, man. And I like the grind, but I don't want my escape to be the grind, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm listening to music again. And I'm listening to fucking some like when I listen to music now, it's like, ooh, it's like, do I want to use that as an inspiration? Should I be listening to that? It's like, oh, this is fucking ripping. I don't care if it's good.
Try
I don't care
it,
if
yeah.
it's bad. Like, I'm just going to listen. If I want to write something now, I'm just going to write it. And
yeah,
I'm excited for the process, you know, of like rediscovering something that I love, but lost in itself, you know?
Yeah. Kind of like restarting the passion you have for music again.
100%. So like, dude, I'm basically going to go in baby steps. I'm just going to be like, I'm a fresh, clean slate. Yeah, I spent a lot of time on the band life, but now I need to spend some time on the music, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I could never connect those two, which I can fully recognize. Like, it was like there, I had a lot of trouble. Like, I wanted the band life, but then when it came to the music part, like I started playing music solely to perform, you know, and I love music, but because I jumped so quickly into performing and shows and shit, my performance would be here, but my musicianship would be here. So it was always, and like something in me, no excuses. Like I couldn't connect the dots to be like, I need to put more work in on the music end to match where I'm at right now. I always felt lagging behind, but I always struggled to do something about it. So now I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like, when I want to get back into it, I'm just going to get, just start fresh, but with all the knowledge I have now and just fucking go after it, you know, play music.
And especially if you give your time, like yourself time to heal and deal with whatever you need to deal with inside of you and figure out whatever you want to of your life and how to deal with things that are going on in your head.
Exactly.
And then like you find that moment where you're like, I can get back into this, and you take the step and you start doing it. And maybe even then that first time is not the time for you.
Exactly.
You'll start playing and you'll be like, oh, fuck. And then you stop, and then you gotta give it a little more time again.
Yep. It's just gonna, I just have to trust my gut and trust the process and see where we go, man. Maybe we'll write, I don't know, I'm just taking the lid off and I'm like, I'm gonna write whatever I want now.
Exactly.
I'm gonna write music with friends. I like write a riff, be like, oh, I did this, like, fucking, you would sound good on this riff, send it over to Josh, see what he wants to do with it.
Oh yeah, just definitely,
you know, just
I mean, genres don't even really matter anymore, do they?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because look at what Sleep Token's doing, especially right now with their new stuff. Like,
well, dude, even like the Avoid guys, like we put
them too,
a lot of different, like those guys put, they got a lot of shit going on that record, man. It's a great record,
a lot,
straight up. Like,
yeah, it's really good.
And like, God, like if you asked me a month ago, I'd be like, that record sucks. But but objectively, dude, it's great. And like, you know, I.
Well, I'm glad I could talk to you outside of the storm and a moment to.
that was part of it, man. I had to go reclusive for a little bit because I've gone through the fucking the circus of like, I'm emotional, I'm gonna just put it out there.
Fuck you.
Dude, I don't want that, man. Like, I don't want to be that guy anymore. I want to just be, you know, I waited to tell a bunch of people about it until I felt like I could answer their question in a non-pissed off way. And when they were like, what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And I could just like, oh, things changed, you know?
That's why I waited too. I was like, I'll talk to him on the podcast, like, well, like, I'll ask him then. I don't need to ask him that.
Dude, honestly, it's like it's been interesting, like, because, you know, I'm like a pretty high strung person at times, and like I get fucking worked up sometimes, and that's just how it is. And this is the first time that I've felt like I've actually kind of taken control of that and been like, I'm not gonna just lose my shit, I'm gonna make a calculated decision that's going to benefit me in the long run. Right now, that's just putting my head down and getting my shit together. And like, it's been working. Like, it's been working great. You know, like this past month, every time I talked to somebody about this situation a month ago, I would have been just like working myself up and getting mad or sad or something. And now I'm like, okay, like, I feel like every time I talk to somebody about it, I grow a little bit more from it and I get a little bit less emotionally invested. And I'm like, okay, I can start seeing things from a new standpoint, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Kind of funny how getting things out of your head works a little bit, right?
Oh, definitely. You, speaking of genres, you described Avoid as rock adjacent. I feel like we can do better.
That's fair.
And I want you to create a new genre.
Okay.
What would you call a void in the genre?
Oh my God.
They're in?
Oh man. Oh God. Do I get one, or can I just put a bunch of words together?
Well, yeah. So you know how there's like pop punk and like, I don't know, emo rock or whatever. You can do like some combos. Alternative indie pop, you know, like that type of, you can do some three combos, but like new.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Party metalcore.
That's not bad. I mean, it's pretty damn accurate. I would, yeah, I'd be happy with that.
How about it?
I like it.
I like it.
How was the album process for you?
It was, dude, it was weird. We went down to LA for a month and geez, what summer was that? 2021.
Yeah.
We were down there for a month. The second we rolled into California, everything fell apart. It was insane. It was like so we drive to California. We get everybody together. We have an Airbnb in LA where we supposedly can park the trailer and everything like that, because we had to bring all our gear down. We didn't know what we'd need. We had a bunch of clothes and shit because we were moving there for a month. We roll up to this house. It's in a shitty neighborhood, and we're like, it's fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Definitely no place to park the trailer.
Yep.
And we're like, it's fine. We look at the house. All of the furniture is on the fucking front porch. And we're like, it's fine.
It's fine.
So we park, we send a couple of people over, and they're literally in the process of kicking people out of the house. Like, we don't know if they were like squatting there or they were just like there. And then the landlord did. What I'm assuming is that there was a family living there and the landlord pulled something because he saw how much money he could make on Airbnb for a month in comparison to the rent that they were probably paying him. So probably pulled some shady shit. That's my guess. But anyway, we go there. It's not furnished. Everything
either or could be very possible.
They're cleaning it. Like there had been a dog living in there, which I love dogs, but that dog destroyed that place. Supposedly I stayed in the van. I was driving. I had to keep an eye on it. Two people went in. So we call and we're like, no, we're not, this isn't, no, we're not kicking off a month here like this. Like you guys have to figure this out. So we get a hotel for 2 days. I think we stayed in two different hotels over three nights. And then we stayed with our drummer's uncle for a day or two when he was out of town, and they came back in. So we had to go, I don't remember. We stayed in like two places in three nights. And then finally they're like, hey, we found you guys an Airbnb in this place. And we're like, cool. So we go check it out and we're like, we're so burnt. We're so dead. We're like, fuck. Okay, fine. This works fine.
It's like the same place.
It's a two bedroom. Oh no, it was significantly worse. It was a two bedroom apartment with like bare bones, everything above a lawyer's office, like deep in the hood of South Central LA, like nice. Crenshaw. Like I'm like, it was fine. Nothing happened to us when we were there, but you definitely had to, you know, you couldn't just like fucking go kick it in the front porch and hang out for a month. You were like, if you were at the place, you were inside with the doors locked and the deadbolt and the chain thing on the outside. The back door had a full fucking 2x4 that you would.
Very fun. One time
I walk out and I go to the van and the fucking attorney guy who was dope as hell. He was super nice, but like the place sucked. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
We were miserable. And there were six of us in a two bedroom. One room had a bunk bed. The other room had like a bed. And then I don't know what we did for everybody else. But I go out there one day and the garage is open and he's like fucking with a motorcycle like frame. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. What's that? He's like, oh yeah, this is a front end collision. The rider died. So I'm just looking at the frame and I'm like,
very tight.
Cool. And then one morning I wake up and my friend that lives down there was like, dude, you should get Citizen. And like, it's an app that tells you what's happening around you. Like Citizen reported like, uh-huh. Oh, somebody fucking robbed this place. So I wake up one morning, I look at Citizen. It's like 40 minutes ago, strong arm robbery. I'm sitting on the couch and it says like 80 feet from you.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah, let's go. Like, I think our producer had a dude try to like break into his car or rob him when he was going to his car one night. Like, nothing happened that I was like, whoa, that's fucking crazy. This is so sketchy. Literally, yeah. Like, I would walk down and I'd go to like the market and just like throw my headphones in, head down, don't fuck with anybody's shit, and nobody will fuck with you. But like, you definitely like couldn't just, yeah, it was an interesting month. So that happens. And then like there was a miscommunication somewhere. So like we couldn't all go to the studio at once because it was not quite set up for like a full band at a time. You know, it was a producer that normally works with like one or two members at a time. So like
yeah.
The way we would all work at that time was everybody in a room, but it just couldn't work that way. So most of the days were spent like, at least for me, I just fucking kicked it in that apartment for a month because like we were doing a bunch of top line shit and like we just couldn't get the juices flowing because of the environment we were in. Like we were so depressed for a month. Like, dude, the amount of Tito's that we drank was fucked up. Like we couldn't buy a bottle. We had to buy gallons.
Oh my gosh.
Like one night we drank 3/4 of a gallon of Tito's real fast, had to order another gallon that our friend paid for because we were on FaceTime with her. And then we finished that in like an hour. And it was like, dude, this was like a nightly occurrence. Like we'd go through like a half gal and we were just so fucking off the rocker. Like it was like, it was bad, man. We were
You still drink Tito's?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, if you didn't, then you didn't drink enough.
No. I drank Tito's in Vegas the last time we were there. Fucking Chris goes like, oh, dude, there's Tito's right there. And I was like, you bastard. So obviously, like, I had a choice. I had an option to drink something other than Tito's, but I was like, I wonder. So I drank it, and I was like, nope.
Never again.
Nope.
Yeah, that's Jameson for me.
Oh, yeah, that's Tito's and Jack now, and tequila.
Oh.
I burnt myself on tequila on my 26th birthday in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, like with the fire and everything?
Oh, dude, no. I literally just, like, drank so much that I just was shaking for a whole day.
Oh, that kind of burnt. Great.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys had like fucking 30 songs and none of them were used.
We had a bunch of songs partial or finished, and I think on the record there's a couple riffs, there's a couple ideas that made it. But basically what ended up happening is everybody went down one by one. It kind of sucked because like Benny and Nick had to go down there for like a month through Christmas and shit to just grind this album out and like finish it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they had to pretty much just be away from everybody and their families for a while. They were like steering the boat on that. And, you know, props to them, man. Like yeah. They were sending songs back and I was fucking, dude, I was like, let's go, bro. Like it was collaborative. But then at the end of the day, we were like, okay, that month. So now we got to just like do what we can to get it done. So we just would grind. We just hit a grind hard for like a month writing shit. And they're like all the songs that are on the record now were written pretty much in 3 weeks, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Dude, and I'll never knock those guys for their work ethic.
Yeah. Is there any reason as to why like the 30 songs weren't used? Did you guys have you wanted a different sound as opposed to what you were going for at the time?
Over COVID, we were like jamming very organically, playing songs that were never meant to be for a void. And we had a whole different idea for what we wanted to be for a little while.
Uh-huh.
And then we kind of got back and, you know, we kind of got out of touch with reality on what we wanted for a minute. And then shows started coming back. We saw what songs were hitting, what songs weren't hitting that we were playing that were new. And then we kind of just went off from that. Because like at that one show in Oceanside that was like the Void and Friends show out in the back parking lot of a brewery. It was like Chris's 21st.
Mm-hmm.
We played a couple new like songs that are never going to get released. And we kind of got to see like what those did, who liked what and all that. Oh,
there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Peanut.
I brought Peanut.
Hey. Also, if you see a cut, that's because Zoom does 40 minutes if you have a free trial. So that's cool.
Yeah, good times. Thanks, Zoom. Yeah. It used to be free when COVID happened. I see how it is.
Oh, you one-eyed dog. How cute.
She's such a bean, dude.
Dogs like that are always like vicious as hell, though.
Dude, she's so vicious looking.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Let me let her out. She wants to go see Mama.
Oh my god.
And then this is the man of the hour. This is Boots.
Boots?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that pink little nose.
He's a good boy.
Oh my goodness. That's adorable.
He's a good guy.
Oh, I love Cass, dude. Anyway, where were we?
You know,
you played the Oceanside Brewery for Christmas 21st. I know that we were talking about that.
Yeah, and we were just...
You played a couple of unreleased songs.
Yeah. Yeah, just a couple bangers that we would play over COVID and stuff like that, and just kind of got to see what people liked, and then base the rest of our songs around that. Mm. You know,
that's cool.
Yeah, good times.
Do you have a favorite song off the album or in general, I guess?
I always Shapes. Liked Shapes.
Shapes, bro.
Dude, I think they should start playing The Lost from The Trench. Avoid the Void Days.
Holy shit.
That's for OGs only.
Dang, I need to hear it.
No, you don't.
I want to.
Well, actually, yeah, everybody should figure out how to listen to The Trench. That's a great EP. Check it out.
If you can find it.
You can't. But I don't know. I liked My World. That one was fun.
Yeah. That was
it's like the yeah, that's
was that the first one you guys released? Off the record? No.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh no, you did Cowabunga first.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Yeah. Oh, actually, no. I liked Split the most because it sounded like Slipknot, and I always wanted to be in Slipknot.
Dude.
Just, yeah, I was like, oh, that's fucking, that sounds like Iowa.
Yeah, Slipknot was the band that got me into music in general.
God, I love that band so much, dude. Yeah, I have like a 2001 tour hoodie that I found at a vintage store, and I'm like, that's my holy grail.
Hell
like,
yeah.
It looks like shit. It's ripped to shreds, but it's great.
Yeah, I saw that Wait and Bleed video, and I was like, that drummer is insane. I want to do that.
Dude, for me, it was Left Behind.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That song's so good.
That music video where the kid's, like, pouring, like, the black milk into the fucking, like, that stuck with me forever. And then there's a shot, like, for me, I love music videos that are just, like, not even music videos, but I like attached to like this the dumbest, most inconsequential thing in music videos. Like,
oh yeah,
there's this shot of Mick. It's like when everything drops out and he's just dead, but he's like standing in a field. He does this fucking hair whip and just finishes the riff. And I'm like, Mick Thompson, you absolute gangster. Just
poof. Yeah, dude. I remember when that Before I Forget video came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I lost my shit. I was like, oh my God, they're not wearing masks. Dude, that band is so fucking good.
Oh man. I like when I was little, that was the jam. When as I got older, that was the jam. Like when I got back, I went into middle school. I didn't know what I wanted to be or who I was. And I was like a little skater kid and I didn't even know what I liked to listen to. And then fucking my friend showed me like, he like played a newer Slipknot song at the time. Like he played like Psychosocial and I was like, who's what? And he's like, it's Slipknot. And I was like, I'm into Slipknot again. So I dove back into their old discography from there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
What do you typically listen to?
Let's find out. I listen to a lot of shitty trap and good trap. like recently, I listened to a lot of City Morgue today. I listened to a lot of Distinguisher because rest in peace.
I never got to see him.
They were sick. We did quite a few shows with them, and they're great guys.
Yeah, that last record was really good.
Dude, I'm saying, like, Dying Light is probably one of my favorite things that they've ever done. It's just a ripper. Listen to Reflections, Key Glock.
Is there anything obscure that, like, people would be surprised that you listen to?
Well, at this point, nobody's surprised that I'm like a big fan of pretty much everything trap. So like Gucci Mane, Young Dolph, all that shit. But like, let me think, man. I mean, I'm going to a Sabrina Carpenter concert pretty soon. I love Sabrina Carpenter. She's sick. I like Maggie Lindemann too. I don't know. Like, it's funny because like I'm getting into these big pop artists, and I'm like, wow, I feel so like special for listening to like pop music. And then I'm like, wait a second. Like, and no, I'm just appreciating pop music. Finally. So I'm just like, I don't know. I listen to a lot of pop. Dude, my favorite. Okay. Maybe one that like some people will be like, damn, that hits. And other people will be like, who? Copeland.
Yeah.
Copeland is one of my favorite artists of all time. Copeland and City in Color, two of my like bigger influences. Dallas Green
is,
that's all you have to say.
That's all. Yeah, that's, you're done. It was good.
Dallas Green.
You get it.
Yeah. So I like City in Color, Dallas Green.
Dallas Green.
That's my reason. And I also like, Copeland's great. I think Aaron Marsh is awesome. And I found myself like, not on purpose, but all the artists that I listen to, like, you can hear a very clear overlap of sound from album to album. Like, mm-hmm. Copeland started as kind of a bare bones, like, cutesy rock songs and shit. And then, like, you can hear in each album, like, he's experimenting with a new sound. Like, he'll go from his first album to his second album, and the second album will start introducing some, like, different, more melodic, more orchestral, like, cinematic pieces. And, like, over the course of his career, he's gone from that, and now he's doing full compositions of his old songs in, like, orchestral style.
Oh, wow.
And, like, his most recent album, fuck, I'm the worst fan because I don't know album names, but, like, the one that starts with Pope, the first song on the record is Pope. That is one of the greatest records in any sort of, like, alternative music that I've ever heard. It's beautiful. He does fucking, like, ASMR shit at the end of one of the songs, but it's like you just hear in the background like what you would hear in like a morning conversation. It's like you hear like a couple talking back and forth. It's like overlapping voices, and he's just going like, I think I should get up soon. Oh, I think I need to go to work. How did you sleep last night? And it's like, it's just in the background. You're like, I've had this conversation, and like,
I need to check this out.
Oh my God, dude. As Above, So Alone is one of the coolest songs I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I don't know. It sounds like the mid 2000s. I don't know how, like, other than that, like, I feel like I'm driving with my windows down through a city in 2005 when I listen to that song, and I will not elaborate. It's just how it feels.
Yeah. You're going to have to check it out to see, understand the feeling.
It's just a good song. No, I love Copeland. And then, yeah. I don't know. Royal Blood's cool. I like Royal Blood.
Nice. Have you ever heard of, because you like horror stuff, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Skinned with a Y?
I've seen, but I haven't listened to. Or
so, like heard. the chick with the makeup and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, I forgot what, I think it was Norwegian or like Iceland. I don't know. Some.
That's another realm that I like. I like black metal a lot.
But they do. I don't even know what to call, again, genres. I don't even know what to call them necessarily. Like death techno pop rock. I don't know.
Fuck it. I'm in.
But like they do songs based off of like Jim Jones.
Dope.
Nightcrawler.
I'm in already.
Richard Ramirez.
Yep.
Tyler Hadley, all kinds of stuff.
Damn,
like,
dude.
And their music videos are dope. Their songs are dope. Very interesting. Listen, so check
them out. I'm a sucker for like theatrical shit. Like,
oh, you'll love it.
Oh yeah,
the Jim Jones one too. Like,
yeah, I'm down. Crazy.
Very good.
I'm down.
What's a good? What's an ideal off day on tour for you?
Oh, dude, and, River Float.
Well, I heard you talk about that. I know it's like your best day of tour. But is that like the ideal day that you would want to have all the time? Like that's you would always want to
like
do
like every
flow?
Day.
Yeah.
Oh well, like, God, off day
like,
on tour.
What's like your personal, like yourself? What do you want to do with your day? Do you want to go to a river float? I mean, if it's that, cool.
Most days, but also like if I'm deep in a tour, like all I want in an off day is a somewhat easy drive,
mm-hmm.
a couple nice hotel rooms, mm-hmm. and a hot tub.
Ooh, you're a hot tub guy.
Yeah, I'm a slut for a hot tub.
Man. Oh, your cat just came into frame.
Where is he?
Sorry, who's I get distracted.
Don't mind the mess behind me. That's all my shit that I have to move out of my house in like a week.
Oh, nice. You're moving?
Yeah. Yup. But yeah, definitely just like a nice hotel, a couple of rooms so that we have a couple showers and like everybody gets. That's it. Everybody gets a bed to themselves, which God knows that never happens. And then shower, and then go in the hot tub, and then shower again, and then shower another time because I can in the morning. And then we leave and we go play the show. That's also in the town that we're already staying in, so that we don't really have to drive very far. That sounds nice to me.
That sounds very nice.
Do fucking nothing and recharge all my devices.
An easy, relaxing day, and then exactly. A show that night.
Yep. In a legal state. That yes, matters.
That definitely matters.
Because Amen. Then you just smoke your weed and you hang out. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Poots, where are you?
So this is where it's going to start to get into my random thoughts that I've always kind of wondered or randomly jotted down. Because I did listen to that other podcast that you put out.
Oh, dope. The fucking 3-hour one? The really long one?
There's a 3-hour one?
Or which one was that?
Out of My League?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's like a, dude, there's a super long version of that.
If I would have known, I would have listened to it already. But
No. Most of it is me rambling about just like dumb bullshit while I progressively drink more. And it, dude, it was, I gotta say, man, those that I was thinking about that, I was like, damn, I haven't really done something like this since I did that. We intended for that to be like shorter. And dude, they're just fucking great people. Like, they're very cool. That's a dude that I played my first show with, that guy, Gage, that was one of the people in there.
In your first band, or
in my first band, he was one of the other bands that was the show, and we just kind of stayed friends over the years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I liked that one. Which brings me to a couple of things you mentioned. One, the stolen street sign that's in the trailer, or that was in the trailer at least. What street sign was it?
I think it was a no parking sign.
Okay.
I think because I hate those signs.
Not bad. That's like a 7 out of 5.
Like on my
7.5.
7.5. I take that. Yeah. I tackled one with my friend Benji from Not a Toy, who everybody should listen to Not a Toy. That band fucks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got really drunk because I turned 21 in Boise, and we just like stole a parking sign with the pole, I think.
That bumps up to a 9.5.
Yeah, I think we took the whole fucking thing and we just took it to our hotel room. And then we eventually took it off and put it in there. But I don't remember if that was the one or if it was the other one from, like, I think it was Lancaster, Pennsylvania. There was one by the trailer. So I was like, oh, that's an interesting Allen key. I bet I have one that fits that. So I just like put it up there and I just like leaned up against it and just leaned up against the sign, just went and then just undid them and put it in the trailer and stole another parking.
People
sign.
Walking by, you're like, oh, I'm just chilling. Don't mind me.
Yep. 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 And then I take the whole sign down.
top ramen and peanut butter.
Oh yeah, that was a weird thing that I did when I was in like eighth grade.
This was an eighth
grade. We were told by an older kid at snowboard camp who had done a lot of mushrooms at that point. He was like, hey, you kids should try something. Dry top ramen, peanut butter, sriracha. And we were like, whoa, okay, mystical mountain man. So we went home and we were like, yo, you remember when that weird fucking dude told us that? And he was like, yeah, I kind of want to try it, do you? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So we tried it. Wasn't bad. Haven't tried it since.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
It was like a really fucked up kind of pad thai, if you think about it. It's got that peanutty flavor.
Mm.
And then it also has the spice.
What kind of flavored ramen?
You don't put the packet on it, so it doesn't really matter. It was basically like if you were on a lot of drugs and was like, this is pad thai, that's what it is. That was his whole approach to that. And I was like, all right, buddy, we'll give it a shot. So we did, and we were like, dope. That was pretty good. And then we just never did it again.
Interesting. Okay. I'm
If you told me that in high school, maybe I probably still would have done it. But like now, I'd probably still do it. But I've already done it, so I don't have to do it again.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Pike Place short stalls. You ever use them?
Oh fuck! I think I've had to once.
Like number two, of course.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. No. Oh, I'm pretty sure I had to do that once, and I'm pretty sure it was really slow that day, so like I didn't really have to worry about it. But yeah, no, I think I've
definitely... Oh, I thought you were saying you were really slow, so it was taking a long time to come out.
Yeah, there was a line all the way up to fucking Pike Street. But no, dude, it was I think I did have to do it, and I was like, all right, man, I just gotta set my shame aside and not look anybody in the eye. That's the goal there. Yeah, that place is weird.
So yeah, how are you overall dealing with being out of a band, being like out of music, I guess, in a sense?
You know, really well.
Yeah.
I think that I needed a change. I'm the type of person that needs change fairly frequently, and I didn't know that that was okay. It's a change that happened and I had to adapt to it. And I think I've adapted really well. You know, I just started a new job today and like already like learned things that I didn't know how to do before. It was like simple shit. Like, oh, measure this hole that is here in the wall. Cause there was a bunch of drywall taken out for like plumbers and electricians just renovating and shit. Yeah. Boots, dude, get out of here.
Life with a cat.
Come here. But, So like today we were just like, he's like, okay, measure this, patch that. And I was like, cool, small rectangle, did it. And he's like, okay, now do the one over there that has like an outlet in the middle of it. So you have to figure out how to cut that out and how to measure for that. And I was like, how? And then he showed me and then he was like, okay, now do it yourself. And I had to learn. And I was like, dude, it's just that the whole day flew by and I was just learning these little tasks that like, at the end of the day, it's going to get covered up with drywall and fucking painted over and cabinets behind it. But like, I learned how to do it, you know, and that made me happy. It made me really happy because I was like, nice. I'm learning a new skill that I can apply down the road.
Something new. You like change. You like new things.
I do like new things. And like, yeah, I don't know. I've been spending a lot of time with some old friends that I probably haven't spent enough time with. Mm-hmm. Over the last couple of years, just because you know how much energy it takes to be in a band.
Yeah,
like it takes a lot. You have to really focus in, and I'm reconnecting with all these people super organically too. It had already been happening, and then I was really able to lean on my oldest friends, like shout out Connor and David, y'all are the fucking OGs, and Zach and the other Zach, y'all know who you are, but Connor and David specifically, I've known Connor since like second grade, and we've just been best friends because like we started going to school together and like we're playing baseball together in fifth grade, best friends. Started going finally went to the same school in middle school because we went separate elementary schools, fucking inseparable. And like, you know, life comes at you fast, and like we were always homies, but we didn't hang a whole bunch. And like we've been reconnecting a lot recently. And then my buddy David, who I met through Connor in like fourth grade, he's just fucking endlessly loyal as a friend. And we've all just stayed. We were the three amigos in seventh grade through senior year until we all started doing our own thing. Like we've all stayed close since then. But like they were the first people I leaned on besides like Logan and my parents when this happened. I was shook as hell, and like I was either going to go down a destructive path or I was going to go down a path where I was going to be okay. And like, I credit like everybody around me, like my parents, Logan, and those two dudes for just like stepping up immediately. And like, I texted them. I was like, hey, he wants to go get hammered. I'm going to go to the bar. And they were like, well, I can't go to the bar, but you want to play video games? Like hop in Discord, let's chat. And like, I hopped in Discord and I was in a piss poor mood. And like, Logan was like, we have like a friend group obviously, but like, dude, they just hopped in and they were friends. And then when I was ready to talk about it, like an hour later, like they asked the hard questions that I needed to hear in that first couple minutes, and they just fucking, I could lean on them. And that showed me a lot, man. Like the biggest thing I've taken from all of this is at the end of the day, the people that really give a fuck about you are always going to give a fuck about you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not even saying like the dudes from Avoid don't give a fuck about me, because that's, I would argue that that's the opposite of true. Yeah. But you know, it's just like, I don't know, a relationship, you know, like you just need space for a little while.
Yeah.
And you know, the door never closes to anybody. But the thing that this has all shown me is like, damn, I have some good people around me, you know? So that really kicked me off. And I was like, it helped me bounce back so much faster than I thought that I would have. And like, I give myself a shitload of credit for that too, because I've done a lot of work on my mental health to not spiral like I have in the past when similar things have happened, you know?
Yeah. Because like, how would you deal with that on the road?
Like if something like catastrophic happened,
like if you were just really in your head and it was a rough day.
Wasn't much I could do, man. And yeah. I kind of a little quirk to like with OCD, you know, you have these compulsions to like it's a, it it's obsessive compulsive. It's you obsess over something and then you have a compulsion that you have to do in your head or externally, like for me, like washing my hands or just like something like that. That's the compulsion from an obsession, right?
Yeah.
So like I'm always doing these compulsions, and on the road, like on a hard day, that's like a never ending cycle, like never ending. And I would externalize it a lot. I was like, I would need a lot of reassurance. Like, oh, I did this. Like, is that okay? Like, oh, like I touched this thing and now I'm anxious that my hands are fucking dirty and everything's going to burn down and I'm going to die, you know? And that got overwhelming for the people around me, like rightly so. But like a bad day for me was like either completely by myself so that I wouldn't put it on anybody else, or putting it on everybody else around me. And that's, you know, it wasn't anything destructive, but it wears on you and it wears on other people over time. So like a bad day on tour for me was probably a bad day on tour for the most people that had to spend time with me that day.
Yeah.
And like I guess the nice thing was, is that it wasn't like, oh, fuck that guy, he's being a dick. It was just like, oh my God, like, is he good? You know, I was just like a fucking lost. Like if I could describe how I felt on a bad day on tour, was like a lost puppy dog, but also like out of my own body. You know, I like didn't just all reason goes out the window. So, you know, it's tough. So yeah, bad days for me were bad for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
And I totally understand why that's hard to tour with. And that's like a big portion of why I didn't want to go too.
Yeah. And it's unhealthy for you. Like it's.
Yeah, dude. Like it wasn't healthy for me. And it was to the point where me being unhealthy was unhealthy for other people.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that.
Which then them feeling the way them feeling and you noticing that is just more added from that onto you again.
Yeah,
it's just a dude, vicious it's... fucking cycle. Is yeah. It's...
Yeah. I feel like I'm just in a washing machine. But, yeah. You know, it's like I feel myself every day getting stronger. And
it's good, man.
Feeling like I can handle more shit. Like if you, like, God, I don't know. It's just weird. It's interesting, though. And I like it. So, you know, in a band or not, I'm going to be happy. And right now I'm not in a band and I'm still going to be happy, you know, and I'm maybe happier than I was when I was in a band because I lost touch with everything that I loved about it. So
you have a happiest moment in music, not just with The Void, just in music, in your musical career.
Yeah, it's like 1 second. And that's not discrediting everything that happened around it, but the 1 second that will never leave my mind was playing Rockville at Daytona. And in the same sight line, it's thousands of people. And then the high banks of Daytona right behind them. And like, I'm a racing fan, man. That was fucking amazing. I'm playing on the outside of turn one for the Daytona 24-hour road course. That's where the stage is.
Yeah.
I'm playing on a big ass stage to just my family's out there. Like my friends are out there. Like a bunch of family flew in for this show. Like, and I remember this one brief second where I looked up. God, it gives me goosebumps everywhere just thinking about it. But like, I look up and it's Daytona and I'm up there. And I'm playing and people are having fun and there's a shitload of them. And then there's just the high banks of Daytona there in the background. Like, and that was like, bury me with that memory. I wish I could have taken a picture of it because that was fucking beautiful. I didn't see anything else. That was just insane, man. It was crazy. I'll never forget that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like it, I like when people ask me like that question or like ask about the festivals, like that's the one, like it's literally like a, it's almost like a GIF and it's GIF, not GIF. I don't care what the creator said. Fuck
it,
that guy.
It is. GIF.
It's GIF. GIF. If you wanted it to be GIF, make it a J. But I, dude, it's literally like, it's probably 5 frames of just like, and I'll never forget it. It was crazy.
That's beautiful, dude.
Yeah, that was it for me. that was peak.
You got me tearing up a little bit. watching you talk about a special moment in your life and seeing too, like, because like we met in passing pretty much, just like a couple guys on tour together, and then that's how we met, and we've just known each other ever since. And
yeah, dude,
and to like see the journey that you've had, and then also see and listen and understand like what you've been going through during it,
yeah,
and the struggle that you've had with it, and yeah, just to see like you can still hold on to those special moments, and it makes you feel something again and like be filled with happiness and a special moment in your life. And it's nice. I like it. It's good to see that.
Thank you. I think that's special too, because like I think that's the first time I've talked back on something since everything happened and been like, mm-hmm. holy shit, like I don't have to think about anything. Like in the first couple of weeks, I thought I would never be able to think about this shit again. I was so fucking hurt.
Yeah.
I thought that I would absolutely never talk about this shit and like never want to think about it again. I was like, I just can't. And so I don't know, man. I think it's also like, it's cool to be able to look at that and be like, that's my memory, you know, and I don't have to assign that to anybody else, because that's like a picture I have of something I did that just matters to me, you know? So thank you for giving me a place where I can actually like kind of do that, man. That was very formative for me, honestly. Just like looking at that and being like, damn, okay, cool. That was fucking sick.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to push that away because of spite or anger or anything. I'm just going to own that shit. And like, I think that opens the door to like owning more shit as time moves on, you know, and whether that leads to like, I don't know. I don't know where that leads, but it's cool to have that. So thank you.
Dude, of course. Like, thank you for talking to me and taking the time out to do this. I know you just got off of work.
Dude,
from your new job, boy.
Let's go. But no, bro, this is, dude, even I could have just sat here and just talked to you, but thank you for putting it on your platform, man. Cause like, as an artist, like, you're like literally, by the way, the amount of times I've heard, oh my God, Josh is literally the best singer I've ever heard. I've heard that. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that, I would fucking, I'd be able to pay my rent easy. Like, so dude, no, you are a fantastic musician, man, but you're an even better friend. So like you're just a homie. Like, doesn't matter if I don't see you for a year. Doesn't matter if I don't see you for two. Like, you're always a fucking homie. Every time I see you.
I love you.
So, fucking love always. You, dude.
I can't think of a better way to end it. But we're going to end it, and then we'll stick around, and I'll just talk to you for a minute. But yeah.
Sounds good.
So thank you for watching. Luke Ryder, follow him. Go check out Avoid. Go get training lessons from his go-kart racing, whatever it's called. Either way. Oh, and see, and now that freaking timer popped up again.
Oh, there we go.
Fucking timer.
Look at us.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks, guys.